Carly, huh? Hey. I don't know. I don't know who Carly is. I don't know. Angel, is there a water in there? Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? See, that kind of stuff usually takes place after service, but we went ahead and jumped in there before service. If you're a guest here today and you're like, man, this dude's weird, I'm not the main guy, so you can come back next week or the week after, and it'd be way better, way gooder. Yeah. Anyway, good morning, CCAM. We've got about 20 minutes left in our regular service. If I go long, and if you got someplace to be, at 11:30, I don't care if you get up and walk out and go home. Okay? If I'm done by 11:30, we'll all leave at the same time. Okay? But if I go a little long, go ahead. Don't feel bad. We got playoffs happening. We got food to eat. I got it, man. I understand completely. So anyway, Paul and Ginger are gone. Great. That's the right response. I thought I was going to get some woos, but they are gone. They're on vacation enjoying themselves. I've talked to Paul by text several times. I'm sure that he stayed closer in touch with his family, but we've talked by text several times, and it seems like everything's good. Looks like they're getting plenty of rest. It's always important that the heads of the church, you know, the pastor and his wife, that they get some time away, you know, to kind of recharge and reset. Because, you can only go as far as your leader can go, right? You know, if you're following somebody somewhere, say I'm following you to Shreveport and you stop at Bossier, and I don't know how to get to Shreveport, and you stop in Bossier, I'm going to be kind of stuck in Bossier until you get on over into Shreveport, right? Because I don't know which way to go. I don't know which I'm supposed to be following you. And so it's the same thing with our leadership. We need to give them some time to get refreshed, reset, you know, get the vision, as Joel was talking about, you know, earlier in the tithes and offerings, to get that. So that way that they can, you know, they can lead us into what it is that God needs us to do and the direction that God needs us for 2021. So who was here on Wednesday night? Okay, yeah, and that wasn't no condemnation involved there. It was just simply so that you would know, I would know who heard Dr. Rob and who didn't. Dr. Rob Carmen was here, and he had an excellent message. And there's a lot of different takeaways that you get from people, you know, whenever you ask people, what'd you get? Like, I even asked Angel, what'd you get? I don't know, I wrote it down. I'm like, it's like, you know, tell me what you got so I can understand. But anyway, when I talk to most people, what I'm hearing is the words God encounters is what I'm hearing. And I really felt like that what he had to say Wednesday night was extremely appropriate for 2021. I'm kind of a vision guy. I'm like, hey, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's the plan? Let's put the plan down. Let's write it down. Let's make it plain. Let's start doing what the plan says we're going to do. And so I really appreciated what he had to say. The night before, I had met with Paul and Ginger on some specific church stuff that we have planned out for this year that you'll be hearing about as we go through the year and start to lay out the road, so to speak, on where we're going and kind of, you know, getting the machete out and cutting our way through the trees and the foliage and all to get to where God wants us to be. So it'll be a good year. I think 2020 was not a bad year. I think it was different, you know. 2021 is going to be a good year, and it's probably going to be different, you know. And so what we have to do as Christians is to realize that, you know, no matter what's going on around us, God's still God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible still says what it says today that it said yesterday. What the Bible said in 2001 was probably your best year. Think of what your best year was in your life. Think of what that year was. That year, the Bible's still saying the same thing it said that day today. Right. That year, this year, is the same one. So we really should not be affected by what's going on around us. We really should just be moving forward in God, doing what God is asking us to do, and walking out the plan that he set for us in our life. Amen? Amen. Okay. Everybody got real quiet. So evidently, I'm either really bad or I'm really good. Yeah, really bad. Okay, we all agree. So, Dr. Rob was here Wednesday night. This book is called The American Patriot's Handbook. A couple hundred years ago or so, if you went to an Ivy League school and you were going to go to college and be a professional of any type, they would issue this book to you as part of your books that you're going to have for the rest of your days. It's called The American Patriot's Handbook, as I just said. Inside this book are several writings that we hold true to our American way that we do. The Constitution is in here. Declaration, yeah. All of those are in here, and they're written down in here. Also, you have some speeches from presidents of times past, presidents of present day. You also have like the Mayflower Compact is in here. Just a lot of really good reads for the foundation of who we are as a country is here. And it's amazing whenever you open this up and you start to read the things that are in here, you would be amazed on how much you read in here that ties itself back to the Word of God. It's amazing to me. It seems like even Christopher Columbus has a writing in here, and he talks about in here that how his going and leaving and proving what he proved out in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, that he felt like he was being led by the Spirit of God to do that. He felt like God was telling him, and he acknowledged that he was being anointed. He was graced is the term he used to do it. These people that founded the structure that we live upon in this great country we are, this great country to where you could do the things that people have done, and we're still together and we're still moving forward. This fantastic country that was built upon, the principles it was built upon were built by people that had principle that was built in the Word of God. Amazes me. Anyhow, Dr. Rob was here and helped me say this guy's name. What's the quote? What's the guy's name? You're going to have to say it slower. Alexis de Tocqueville. He quoted this scripture. He quoted this guy, and I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to get into just a few minutes here in the Word of God. Alexis de Tocqueville. All right, that's how you say that. It was a French guy, evidently, with the name Alexis de Tocqueville. And I can't even, it's the word is that long. It's like crazy. Here's the quote, and Dr. Rob did it Wednesday night, and he did a fantastic job. "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Fantastic quote. Fantastic quote. This is a guy from France. Okay, come to America looking to see, hey, how'd they do this thing? How'd they get so awesome? How did they get there? And he's looking all over the place, and he finally goes to the church and goes, wow, there it is. There it is. This place was founded upon the power of the Holy Ghost. This place was founded upon the grace and mercy of God Himself. We put His name on our money. We put His commandments on the wall of our justice system. Our legislatures, even if they screw it up, when they open up in prayer. Amen, or whatever you're supposed to say, right? I don't even know what that is. This entire, what do they call it? They call it an experiment. Was based on the leading and guiding of God Himself. So somewhere along the way, somebody had an encounter with God. Jehovah, the Almighty, El Shaddai, pick a name. The great I Am, just because He is. Somebody along the way had an encounter with Him and took that encounter to somebody else. And look what we have today. We have the greatest nation that's ever been formed in mankind's history to this date. No other civilization has been able to touch the magnitude of what America has done to influence not only themselves, but the entire world. The world's money system is based on our dollar. Everybody else in the world bases their money on how good or bad ours is. We are the global empire. We are it. All because people had encounters with God and took that encounter to somebody else. Acts chapter 9, it's not in your notes. I need you to go to Acts chapter 9 and go to verse 1 and just get ready to go with me. Yeah. Everybody doing good this morning? God encounters. It's a great story. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Verse 2. Whoa. And asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, talking about anybody that were Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed. Now let me back up. This is Saul, who eventually becomes Paul in the Bible, who wrote three quarters of the New Testament. Originally, his charge was, and he thought God was doing a favor, was to seek out everybody that believed in Jesus and was on these old Jesus freak folk, and I'm going to put them in jail and get them to be quiet. And he thought he was doing God a favor. Okay? Verse 3, and he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Yeah, I bet he felt that way. He got the light coming from heaven, whether you know him or not. That's Lord right there. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads or pricks, and there's all kinds of different ways of saying that. So he trembled. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And he said, and the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, I told you I was going to read a lot. Sometimes you just got to look at the word, man. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who'd appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received the food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. This is what you call a God encounter. He had an encounter with God. He's on the road doing his thing. Jesus shows up, blinding light, falls off his horse, gets up, can't see, heard the voice of the Lord and saw the Lord, goes to Straight Street to hang out down there with mom and them, whoever's house he was at, and a dude by the name, he praying, and God says, look, I'm going to send a guy by the name of Ananias come by and he's going to lay hands on you. You're going to be able to see. And the dude by the name of Ananias, he has an encounter with God. God tells him, hey, get yourself up and go down to Straight Street with mom and them down there, because I got a dude by the name of Saul that's chilling out that needs you to lay hands on him so that he can see. And that way I can show him that he got a lot of stuff he's got to do for me. And so they do all this. These people have God encounters. They have time with God. They're spending time with God. They're looking for His presence. They're praying to Him. They're asking Him, what do you want me to do? And He tells them what they need to do. They take that encounter that they have with God and they go to someone else. And now we have all the epistles in the New Testament. My wife has a cheerleading gym. Jim 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me was written by the guy who had an encounter with God and took that encounter to the world. Are y'all following me here? I mean, from, what is it? Romans to whatever? Was it all the way to Titus? Is that the last one? Three quarters of the New Testament. By a guy who had an encounter of God with God and was not afraid to take that encounter to the world. If you take a look, if you go back to your Old Testament, you read about a guy, his name was Moses. Have y'all ever heard of Moses? Anybody ever heard of Moses before? Moses is pretty cool. You know what happened with Moses? Moses was out in the wilderness taking care of some sheep and stuff. And you know what he saw? He saw a burning bush. And the bush didn't get burned up. It just sat there burning, but it wouldn't burn up and burn away. And he heard the voice of the Almighty. Jehovah spoke to him and told him to take his shoes off. That's one thing I'm to tell you. You ever get in God's presence, you know, and get all, you know, you go to God's house, you better take your shoes off. Don't bring no dirty shoes up in there. You remember that, Rocky, whenever you go, no hot mix. When you go to God's house, take your boots off, okay, buddy? Yeah. Yeah, just take them off. No, leave your pants on. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yes, only here. Whoever said only here, you're right. Leave your pants on, Rocky. When you see God, don't take your pants off. That's just not... It's not appropriate. There's all kinds of inappropriate things happening right now. We need to move on, don't we? It's time to move on. Moving on. So this guy Moses sees this burning bush and it's not being burned up, and he hears the voice of Jehovah himself and tells him to take his shoes off, and God tells him all the stuff that he's going to do. Would you call that a God encounter? Who would call that a God encounter? Yeah. What did he do with his God encounter? It's not like Moses went back to the house and told his wife, say, hey, you ain't going to believe what happened today, sweetie. I was this burning bush thing going on and never burn up. I heard God talk. And he told me to take my shoes off. I left them. He told me to take my shoes off. And he told me all this stuff I was going to do. But it was an awesome day. Anyway, what's for supper? No. He went and delivered 3 million Jews from Egyptian oppression, took them across the Red Sea, had a stick, pointed the stick, the sea split. They walked across the sea on as if it were on dry land, just a dry land right on through there, and they went to what was called the promised land that had been promised way back in Abraham's days. Why? Because this man had an encounter with God, and he took that encounter and did something with it. Joel pretty much preached my message whenever he did the offering. Yeah, he did something with it. He had an encounter with God, got something while he was with God, and went and did something with it. Amen? One more, because we only have time for one more. Did y'all know that? Watch this. It's serious now. Got my notes out. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. You got it? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father is put in his own authority, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be... Not do, but be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts verse 2. All right, so we're going to skip. Y'all okay if I skip to Acts verse 2? or Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. Not that one, the next one. That's Matthew 3. There you go. No, there you go. Here it is right there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Ready? On your mark, get set. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the upper room, correct? Y'all know the story. You've heard the story before. All these people get together. It's the disciples that are left over. It's about 120 of them. They all climb up to the top of the building. They all hang out together, say, Lord, we're ready for your stuff. You said you was going to send us the promise. We're here to get it. Come on, let's get her done. Boom! Here comes the Holy Spirit, comes in like a rushing mighty wind. They go to speaking in tongues. In fact, if you continue to read on, you find out that the people that were listening to them heard them saying the great things of God in their native languages. So, for instance, I'm an American and I'm speaking in English. And if the tongue got to kicking up, the tongue kicked up, somebody that was from France heard me saying the great things of God in French. That's the same thing. Y'all with me? So that's what was going to happen. It's a sign tongue that's taking place right up in this thing. So they go and they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the power comes upon them. And then that 120 goes out. If you continue to read in Acts, you start to see that they go out. In fact, Peter that same day preached a message right after this. He walked outside. He's done been back there praying in tongues. Encounter with God. The wind blew. The Holy Ghost comes in. That's an encounter with God, isn't it? Would y'all agree or not? Okay, all right. Encounter with God. Like a mighty rushing wind comes in there. Shundai, shundai, tie my bow tie. Doing his thing, right? He gets all filled up with the Holy Ghost. He steps outside and he preaches a message, and 3,000 people get saved that day. He spent some time in the presence of God and had an encounter with God with some other folk. There's some other folk up in there. And he walks outside and preaches a message that's written down in Acts. Read the book. It's in there. Just break your Bible open. Acts is past all the Gospels. It's the next one. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Okay? Read the deal. He brings it up. As soon as he preaches the message, 3,000 people get saved that day. And I hear folks all the time, man, you know, there's just not a whole lot of folks getting saved like they used to. We're not taking our encounters to the world. We're not taking what God gives us when we're in our prayer closet or whenever we're up here having a service and doing our thing that we do with the lights off and the music going. We don't take what he gives us during that time to people. We take it, we go to the house, and we sit down and we worry about what's for supper. I'm talking about me. Not y'all. I know y'all changing the world right now, right? Is my belly showing? I can't button my jacket. I would, but I can't. I really can't. Every jacket I got don't button. Yeah, right. That's probably a small. It won't even go on my arm. I'd look like this. They took their encounters with God. The little things that God told them to do that day, went and did them. Smith Wigglesworth. Y'all have heard me talk about him before, right? Got up in the morning. First thing he did, he said, whenever I get up in the morning, I dance before the Lord. First thing he did, he just danced in front of God. Just, hey, God's good. He said he prayed for an hour, read his Bible for an hour, took a cold shower. Then he sat down and asked God, what is it that you would have me to do today? It's a very simple transaction. Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he'll tell you. It's an God encounter. It's your time that you take. You on purpose make the decision to take that time to just simply ask, what do you want me to do today? And then you take that he says to somebody else. And next thing you know, there ain't nobody storming the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. They up there praying instead of acting ignorant. they up there praying, asking God to influence the men that make men and women that make the decisions. They start doing things the way the Bible says to do them. God encounters that we take to somebody else. This morning, I asked y'all to come up here on purpose because I knew I was going to say this. On purpose. And some of you that came up, and some of you even that stayed back, God spoke to you. You might not have heard an audible voice. That's only happened to me once in my time with the Lord. I've only heard him one time, and he said one word. I like heard it. But you know that in your heart of hearts that God said something to you. That's your encounter. That's yours. That becomes your ministry. That becomes your job, your function in the body of Christ. You take that and give it to somebody. You take that to somebody else. And then the next day you come back and say, all right, Lord, what you want me to do today? I want you to do this. Great, I'll go do it. And you take that encounter to somebody else. And next thing you know, just you're everywhere you go, you got a word for somebody. You got a smile for them. You ain't got to be weird and freaky. You can if you want to. The Lord's telling you to be weird and freaky, be weird and freaky. Weird and freaky, either get the job done or it won't. I promise, I've done it. You know, either they're going to be all in or they're going to be like, uh-uh. You know, I mean, that's the thing. But you take that encounter with God and pass along what he gave you. Jesus was the most unselfish person ever. Was and is. He's completely unselfish. Completely. And he found out what he was supposed to do. He had a God encounter. He was born, yeah, everybody, big deal, blah, blah, blah. But he still had to find out for himself. He had to spend time with God to figure it out. He had to read the scriptures to understand who he was and what his purpose was in life. And he took all of his God encounters that he had and he took them to the world and changed this place so much so that he split time in half. He split time in half by taking his God encounters to everybody else. 2021, we've got a job to do. What's our job? Our job is to take our God encounter to somebody else. We will change lives from this place, people. We will touch lives from this place. We will go and do everything that God has asked us to do. We will lay hands on everyone that they asked us, that needs hands laid on them. We will pray for everyone that needs to be prayed. We will witness to everyone that needs to be witnessed to, and we will change the world from this place, starting right here. I like y'all, Roddy Schaefer. Y'all remember Roddy Schaefer? Woo, Roddy Schaefer. What's up, boy? He's watching. I promise you, he's going to be watching it. Roddy, I know he's not here, but there's a camera right there. There's a camera right there. Oh, okay. The camera. Only here, all right? You can't get away with that at other churches. You know that, right? Okay. Roddy Schaefer said for years, whenever we ministered together, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to be quiet. Said for years as we ministered together. He said, you know what? You go out there on that street, right out there. What's that, Constable Street? Runs right there. Go out on Constable Street, get anywhere in the world from right there. Get anywhere in the world from right there. All you got to do is figure out where God wants you to go. Go hit Constable Street, get busy. Take your encounter to somebody else and watch God change their lives. It's an amazing thing. Amen. All right, I went 7 minutes over, and nobody got up and walked out, so I appreciate that. That means that it was kind of okay. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your touch and your word this morning. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we know that your presence is more valuable than any kind of words of men or any kind of words of encouragement, that we know that your presence simply is enough. We thank you, Father, for the word that you did have for us this morning. We thank you, Father, that we will walk it out. We'll do it. We'll be doers and not hearers. Because it's the doers that are blessed. Whenever they get out there and get busy, that's the ones that are blessed, the ones out there getting busy with their vision, their faith, and putting the action behind it. We thank you, Father, that you bless everything we put our hands to as we go. And as we go, we will be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody agree with that? Say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all go home.